Today, we're going to talk about the subject of perspective. Perspective, your point of view, the angle from which you see something, because it has an effect on things. It has an effect on how you view life. Like opinions, we all have a perspective. The question is your perspective helping you or is it hurting you? I know you all have difficult situations, and some of you are really going through. You're being broken down so you can be built back up. Is there anybody here that can attest to that?
Yes.
But the question is, as you're being broken down, and I know you're learning things here, I hope you're incorporating it. I hope you're internalizing it. But the question is the perspective that you have on your situation helping or is it hurting? Is it a losing perspective or is it a winning perspective? Now, our text will be found again in the book of Job. We're not done with him. Chapter 3. And we're just going to take a few verses to emphasize and to help us to make our point and to get our context. And it'll be verses 23 through 25. It won't take us long to cover that when we get there. But we know from last week that Job started out pretty good, and then he was not so good. And then in the end, however, he came to his senses, and he was humbled, and he was broken down so then God could build him back up, because he came to the point of acknowledging the sovereignty of God. Can you do that? Can you acknowledge the sovereignty of God? Who's the boss? Who knows best? Who knows more? The answer to all those things is God. But we know that in Job's case, in the span of just 7 days, he went from the model servant to wishing that he had never been born. And not only did he just wish that he had never been born, we're going to take a look in our text and see what else he had to say. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 23. We'll go all the way through 26. I said 25. We're going to go through 26. Now, you all know that they sat there for 7 days saying nothing, and then the first thing coming out of Job's mouth was, I wish I had never been born. I wish we could wipe out the day that I was conceived. I wish we take that day literally off the calendar like it never existed. I wish we could close up my mother's womb. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say in verses 23 through 26, why is life, I know your King James says something else, talks about light, but why is life given to those with no future? Why is life given to those with no future? Now, what did God tell Jeremiah? How did Job come to the conclusion that he had no future? How did that happen? He says, why is life given? Now, I want you to understand, he's not asking really a question here. You ever ask a question and you're really making a statement? He says, why is life given to those with no future? Those God has surrounded with difficulties. In other words, God, why would you surround us? You, God, you allowed us, you brought these difficulties in our life, and then you expect us to live that life? Why would you give me that life? Thank you, but no thank you, is what he is saying. He says, I cannot eat for sighing. Guess what, Job? Who gave you the food? Who gave you the air that you sighing with? My groans pour out like water. What I always feared has happened to me. What dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest only trouble comes. As we look at this verse 23, can somebody that has the King James read it for me? Verse 23, read it loudly, somebody.
Why is light given to a man whose way is hid?
Yes, let's stop right there. So he's saying, no, read the rest of it. Go ahead, the King James.
And whom God hath hedged in, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me.
Yes. Go back to 23 and read that.
Why is light given to a man whose way is hid?
Stop right there. So he's saying we'd be better off in the dark. Leave me in the darkness because I don't want you to show me what's in front of me if it's only going to frustrate me. I don't want you to show me what's in front of me if it's only going to make me feel stifled. I don't want you to show me what's in front of me if it's not going to be a good feeling when I see it. And all through chapter 3, you'll see that he's saying, I'd rather stay in the womb. I'd rather die as a stillborn. I'd rather never be born and sleep and have rest in my darkness. But you won't give me rest, God. You hemmed me in. You forced me to look at my life when it seemed hopeless. I'd rather not have a life than to have a life and have it be hopeless. But how did Job end up in that frame of mind? It's pretty clear that he is in a very, very bad, dark place, is he not? He's gotten to the point to where he not only wants to live, he's questioning God's decisions, questioning God's judgment, maybe even questioning God's intentions. That's a pretty ugly place to be, do you agree? So what happened is the question. What changed? His circumstances didn't change. We know that his children were all taken. That hasn't changed. He got through that. We know that all his stuff was taken. That hasn't changed. He got through that successfully, I might add. So what's changed? Even once his body was attacked, his wife said, curse God and die. He says, no. Don't. What do you expect? Only good? Cannot God allow some bad to come along the way? Nothing has changed. And yet, in 7 days, the interesting thing and the point of today is that what changed during those 7 days was his perspective. Tell your neighbor, we're talking about perspective this morning. We're talking about perspective this morning. I need to wake you guys up. What changed was his perspective, where the angle with which he saw his situation. He was fine. He was more than fine. He had sores all over his body. All his family had been taken. All his stuff had been taken. And he had the wherewithal to tell his wife, what do you expect? Only good? We're focusing on the negative. What about all the good? He had the ability with sores all over his body. Same sores, by the way, as 7 days later. Kids not coming back. Stuff isn't back. What happened? His perspective changed. Perspective is critical. His perspective changed, and that led to a change in attitude and a change in outlook on his circumstances and his life. He's gotten to this place of hopelessness where he wants God to show him no light. He'd rather be in darkness. That's because his perspective had changed. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Satan had attacked his family and his possessions and even his body. He had control over that. God gave him control over that. What he did not have control over was Job's perspective, Job's attitude, Job's outlook, and he doesn't have control over that with you either. You control that. That's all you. In the book here, it was all Job. You control what angle with which you view a situation. So you might have challenges come your way, but how do you view it? From what vantage point do you view it? Amen?
Amen.
What Job did is he lost his godly perspective. Before he went off the rails, he had a godly perspective. His perspective became distorted by pride and fear. And at worst, your perspective gets replaced by pride. When it becomes replaced, not just distorted, when it's replaced by pride, it's not a matter of this perspective and that perspective. It's only my perspective. I am right. That's all that matters. You can have your views. I am right. Dig in your heels. I am right. You become completely egocentric. My perspective has now been replaced by pride. And so now everything I say, everything I think, the way I hear what you have to say, I'm not really listening to you because I'm only listening to what's going on in my head because I'm right. My opinion, my viewpoint, the decision I've already made. I'm not really, you think this is a two-way conversation, but it's not really. And this is why he couldn't even be helped by his friends. It's not just because their opinions or their attitudes or their wisdom was off. He couldn't hear them. His perspective had been pretty much replaced by pride and also fear. Amen?
Amen?
A godly perspective gives you the bigger picture, the longer view. Our perspective is limited. Limited by our experiences, limited by our biases, what was pumped into you. Did people build you up when you were young, or did they tear you down? What have you been able to see and experience versus others? A godly perspective leads you and allows you to trust God. In any situation, no matter how difficult, a godly perspective causes you and allows you to give God the benefit of the doubt. So that nobody, including Satan, can whisper in your ear and get you to stop trusting God, to get you to see your God in the wrong light, like he did in the garden. A godly perspective, if you keep that, it will never allow you to see God as a little g God, because this is the way that Job was stepping to God. He was taking him from a big G God to a little G God. He went from grateful and humble and respectful to entitled, self-righteous, and arrogant. This is the same Job I'm talking about. The situation didn't change, but his words changed. His approach changed. Why? Because his perspective changed. He had a godly perspective, and it was replaced by pride. Amen?
Amen.
Now, because of this, his woes and his difficulties actually were prolonged. He spent, all those 30 chapters going back and forth and back and forth, justifying his position, back and forth and back and forth, justifying himself, back and forth and back and forth, and really pointing out flaws in God and what God was doing. Having the wrong perspective prolongs your suffering. Having the wrong perspective prolongs your suffering. How many of you want to prolong your suffering? How many of you want to shorten your suffering? And how do you do that? Having a godly perspective. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You have a choice is what I want you to know. You don't choose all the things that happen to you. Now, remember now, if you cause the problem, you need to recognize that. All right? Don't dig your heels in and get all prideful. But many times you don't cause the problem. But you have a choice as to how you view the situation. You have a choice through what lens or what angle you look at the situation. Tell your neighbor, I have a choice.
I have a choice.
I have a choice.
I have a choice.
It's up to me.
It's up to me.
Amen. To have a godly perspective. It determines how you see things. It determines how you interpret things. We talk about how small our church is. Pastor Trina said, we're not a small church. We're just a few people. All of a sudden, we can have a godly perspective. We have been given the provision, the energy, and the people to do 100% of all the things he expects us to do. That's a godly perspective. Now, you get another perspective, it will destroy you. It will have you looking at God cockeyed. It will have you afraid and thinking you are right and God is wrong. We're talking about perspective today, saints. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Perspective is how cameras in the movies can make people like Tom Cruise and entertainers like Prince not look so short. Mm-hmm. Perspective is what allows the NBA players to seem like giants when you're sitting courtside and yet like ants if you're sitting up in the 300 section in the Staples Center. We're talking about perspective. And that is indeed what this is today, a matter of perspective. When you're dealing with God, the closer you get to God, the bigger God becomes. The farther away you are from God, the smaller he appears and the bigger you feel. And so if you have a difficult situation, the last thing you better do is move away from God and start reinforcing your thinking. You better get on God's bus, get on his train, get a godly perspective, because as Sister Carmen said, he knows the end from the beginning. I heard you, sister, when you said it. I said, she's right on point. He knows the end from the beginning. And we don't. I'm going to share with you. This is about what we're talking about today, saints. Perspective. And making sure we have what? A godly perspective. And making sure that it is not replaced by or distorted by pride and in some cases fear. I'm going to share with you three secular quotes. Because I want to make sure that we understand this issue of perspective. I think you've heard me, but maybe if I say it these three ways, somebody who doesn't completely get it will get it. And that's what you'll take home. Amen?
Amen.
Three secular quotes to illustrate this idea of perspective, which we have a choice in. The first one goes this way. Be thankful for what you have, and you'll end up with more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. That sounds like Pastor Morris, doesn't it? That's a quote of Oprah Winfrey. Please don't let ungratefulness or people or pride steal your joy. If you're grateful for what you have, you can be joyous. But if you let your pride or people get you thinking the wrong way, it will steal your joy. It will cause you to lose the gift that you already have, which is a healthy, godly perspective, being connected to the one who knows the end from the beginning. Do you think that if Job knew the end while he was going through his stuff, that he would have talked to God like he did? No. His perspective was off. So he pulled away and God started to look small. So he thought he could step to him. He thought he could talk to him like that. He started turning into a little G God. Don't let that happen to you. Be grateful for what you have. That car of yours was just fine until somebody else got a new one. That house of yours was just fine until somebody else got a bigger one. That TV was just great until somebody else got a fancier one or a bigger one. Amen?
Amen.
That job, that career was just fine, fitting all your gifts and all your talents, and God had made provision, but somebody else got more recognition for a certain kind of career. And you got off kilter, lost perspective, prolonged your suffering, intensified your pain. Because somebody else got some recognition for a particular field. We're talking about losing the godly perspective, the gift that it is that we take for granted. You were going to a perfectly good school that one could afford and not be indebted forever. But no, you needed a prestigious school because somebody else went to a prestigious school and folks gave them props for it. So you had to go to a prestigious school that will break your life. All because you lost perspective. You had wisdom from one who could see the end from the beginning. But no, when we lose perspective, the godly perspective, we replace it with pride and fear. Pride, my opinion matters the most, even though God knows better. Fear, I'm fearing what people will think. What will they say? I'm telling you, I wish we could really get into this thing of what likely happened between Job and his friends. Remember, he was fine until they showed up. He was fine. He had only a godly perspective. Sat there for 7 days and then opened his mouth and ended his situation. Amen?
Amen?
In the Garden of Eden, we were fine with all that God gave us until Eve lost her godly perspective. Had everything and suddenly was convinced, became convinced that she had nothing. Had a God that loved her, but was convinced that God was not working in her favor. Amen?
Amen?
So when it comes to these televisions, houses, and all that sort of stuff, you don't need more, bigger, better. What you need is a better perspective. You need a godly perspective. Amen?
Amen?
The second quote that I'll give you is this. Some people see the glass as half full. Others see it as half empty. But I see the glass that's twice as big as it needs to be. Some people say it's half full. Others see it as half empty. But I see the glass that's twice as big as it has to be. Believe it or not, that's quoting George Carlin. He's passed away, and I don't advise his brand of comedy to you. But he said this without one curse word. He says, the glass is twice as big as it needs to be. In other words, there's no deficiency of water. You've got enough water, people. We are enough water for what God has asked us to do. If this church was half the size, if this room was half the size, with half the chairs, it would be twice as full. I'm going to say that again. If this church was half the size, with half the chairs, it would be twice as full. And if we opened this thing up and added all the other chairs, it would appear or feel emptier. I'm trying to tell you there's enough water. Sometimes the glass is bigger than it needs to be. Some of the things that discourage us is that we imagine the smallness of us and the bigness of all of the world that needs to be changed and all the work that can be done. You're imagining a glass that's too big. Imagine a glass that's exactly big enough to contain those that God has decided should be here right now. Now all of a sudden what? Your cup runneth over. Somebody else comes, you got to make more room. We would say, well, there's plenty of room, right? Guess what? The glass is as big as what God wants to put in it. You're looking at the glass that's bigger than it needs to be. Amen? We're talking about perspective. We're talking about the fact that you have a choice. And we're talking about the choice to trust God, especially in difficult times. Amen?
Amen.
The third quote that I'm going to give you is this. Those who were dancing were thought to be crazy by those who could not hear the music. That's from Friedrich Nietzsche. Those who were dancing, you know. I look crazy, huh? Now, if I start humming, then maybe you'll start thinking, okay, there's some music, right? But I'm making my own music. Those who were dancing were said to be nuts off their rocker because the other folks looking at them could not hear the music. We're talking about perspective. Most of the time you think of it as visual perspective. Here we're talking about auditory perspective. If you're dancing in your life because you have a song in your heart that God has given you because you have a godly perspective, you're rolling with the one that knows the end from the beginning, so your current circumstances or your pain does not define you, nor your relationship with God or his view or love for you. Other folks may think you're crazy when you still have a song in the midst of your difficulty. But if you lose perspective, not only will you lose your song, but you'll start cursing the very one whose hands your life is in. We're talking about perspective. Before sitting down for 7 days with his friends, Job could still hear the music. The music of God working in his life. Even when his wife couldn't hear the music, Job didn't stop dancing. Even when the closest one, the only one left on this earth to really have your back. She didn't hate Job. She didn't want to see Job going through what he was going through. And she could not hear the music. So people will call you crazy. But don't stop listening to your music. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, don't stop dancing to the music. Tell another neighbor, don't stop dancing to the music.
Don't stop dancing to the music.
Amen. But don't lose the song in your head that you could dance to. I'm not going to beat you up if you don't dance. But I want your life to be one reflective of one who could dance. Dance on the inside. Think it would be good if people think you're crazy. That means you're not operating based on circumstance. You're operating based on the one who knows the beginning and the ending because he wrote the book.
Amen.
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 So in the midst of your troubles, keep that song of God in your heart and keep your godly perspective. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let other people, don't let your own pride or your fears ruin it for you. Can you do that? A godly perspective doesn't tell you the end from the beginning. You won't know all the answers. He's not going to give you that. But a godly perspective keeps you connected to the one who does know the begin from the end from the beginning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So we've learned some things from Job's story, right?
Amen.
We don't want to repeat his mistakes, do we?
No.
He lost his godly perspective. And he replaced it with pride. Now, he's not the only one. There's a few others that lost their godly perspective, had it made in the shade, and then lost it and replaced it with pride. I'm thinking the first one I'm thinking of is Lucifer. The bearer of light is what it's translated from the Latin. The bearer of light, he was the greatest angel, had the most favor, the most beautiful, the most attention, and he lost his godly perspective. And suddenly God started to look smaller and he turned him from a big G God to a little G God saying, I can be God. I need to be God. I want to be God. And that was the beginning of his end. I'm also thoughtful about Joshua, great man of valor, went in and did exactly what God told him to do, as silly as it looked. And those walls came tumbling down that had never come down by any other force. But he went into a battle and he lost. And he didn't know what he didn't know. And so the first thing that he did is start to blame God. Why did you bring us over this Jordan just to have us destroyed? He lost his godly perspective, which caused him to have the wrong attitude and outlook, which caused him to do crazy things. We're talking about perspective. We're talking about attitude and outlook, and we're talking about the fact that we have a choice how to look at our situations. I think about Elijah, and you know all the amazing things that he had gone through? He had been fed by birds. He had eaten for all this time from nothing, a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal, and they just kept on eating from it and kept on eating from it. But that didn't stop him from losing his perspective. Being out in the desert and was fed from nothing, from literally poof. And still it didn't stop him from wanting to die and being in a cave, wagging his finger at God, saying, I am the only one. If he was connected to the one that knew the end from the beginning, he would have known, no, you're not the only one. But his godly perspective was replaced by pride and fear. And that causes you to wag your finger at God when you're going through a little something, something. If he knew the end from the beginning, if he had been connected to God, would he have talked that way? He wouldn't have spoken that way. And yet, we're connected to the one that knows the end from the beginning. And don't forget Eve. We've talked about her. She had it made. Connected to the God that knew the end from the beginning. Knew the suffering that we would all face if she did what she did. But all she needed was a whisper. A little influence to take her godly perspective and turn it into something that would bring pain. Amen?
Amen.
So when troubles come, please endure your hardness as a good soldier in Christ. Have the right perspective. Keep a godly perspective, knowing that all things work what? Together for your good. It's okay to ask God questions. Just say, Lord, how are you working this for my good? How are you working? Lord, you have us in this place and you have people dotted all over the place. How do you know that God is not doing this intentionally? Why, God, are you doing it this way? When he doesn't answer you, just understand God has chosen to do it this way. Know that in the end, you're going to look back at the book and you're going to understand. In the meantime, just stay connected to the one that understands and ask your questions differently. Why, Lord? Quizzically. If Job had said, Lord, why is it that you shine a light on our situation knowing it's going to make us cringe? Why, Lord, do you give us life knowing we're going to face pain? Why, Lord? Well, why, Lord, did you send your son who was perfect knowing he was going to face pain? Why, Lord? If you ask the right questions or you ask all your questions the right way, you'll have a different attitude. If you're Jesus and you're in that garden, you're like, why, Father, does it have to go down this way? But he caught himself quickly, nevertheless. Nevertheless, had he wallowed in his self-pity, he would have been in an ugly place like Job ended up. But he caught himself, nevertheless. Thy will be done. Endure your hardness, knowing that no good thing will God withhold from you. No good thing. Think about what your perspective will be if you think about the fact that all things work together for your good. Why? Because you love God and you are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. No good thing, Job, will God withhold from you. You have no idea. He's got way more, twice as much, waiting in the wings. But if you lose your godly perspective and focus just on you and your current circumstance, then you'll lose the benefit of being connected to the one and making the decisions and having the attitude and the approach and the outlook of one that knows the end from the beginning. And guess what? We're connected to God, so our end is always better than the beginning. How often is your end better than the beginning? Always. Your end is always better than the beginning. Now, if you know that, you can have music all day long and dance to it. If you forget that, if you fall for the okey-doke, if you get hoodwinked, then you'll mess up your life. God is good how often?
All the time.
Amen. He sees, he knows, even during your most difficult times. God cares. Don't get it twisted and think that God does not see your difficulty. Don't ever think that he does not know. He knew before you ever got there. And he cares. Perspective is critical. I'm going to ask you, Jordan, how many fingers am I holding up? Or ask somebody with a better perspective, how many fingers am I holding up? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you again, Jordan, how many fingers am I holding up? Would you like to get a better perspective? What do you need to do to get a better perspective? You need to move. If you stay where you are, if you lose your godly perspective and replace it with pride, you'll never get it right because you won't move. I'm trying to tell you, we have a choice. I offered you a better perspective. How many fingers was I going to put up next? If you want to know that, just get a godly perspective, because God knows. You don't have to know before it happens if you're connected to God. You don't have to have it all figured out if you're connected to God. You don't have to depend on your interpretation of your current circumstances if you're connected to God. Because he knows the end from the beginning. Not only does he know how many fingers I'm going to hold up, he knows why. He doesn't just know that young man on the Warriors kicked the other guy. He knows the intent. We're talking about having a godly perspective. We can look from all the angles, and you still couldn't tell his intent. God knows his intent. See? Instead of going to Secaucus, New Jersey, if we went to the throne, we'd always know, would we not? Amen. Amen. God sees, he knows, and he cares. And just remember in the end that God always means you good. The devil is the one that means it for evil. However difficult your pain gets, however serious your suffering gets, however challenging your circumstances get, the devil might be allowed to touch you and affect your life. Just know he means it for evil. But God always, always, always. How often?
Always
means it for good.